Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
A quiz of ice and fire. Hello there, listeners. Thanks for tuning in today for another quiz of ice and fire. I'm Lady Guinevere, and today we're bringing you our 17th quiz, our fifth, all about characters of A Song of Ice and Fire. And as always, we want to thank our generous patrons for their continued support, which has unlocked this bonus feature for everyone. And speaking of bonus features, I want to mention that all of our patrons have access to two patron-exclusive episodes, currently one all about the Arthurian influences in A Song of Ice and Fire, and one on the Varamyr prologue. So head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/radioesteros to find out how you can join us and gain access to those episodes, among other perks of being a supporter. And now I'm happy to introduce our guest host for this quiz. Today we have Vanessa Cole from the Night's Cast podcast, the official podcast of Watchers on the Wall. And some of you may also be familiar with Vanessa's work as a contributing writer at Watchers on the Wall and her artwork. She does fabulous portraits of various A Song of Ice and Fire characters, which Yoke Boy and I are both big fans of. And I'm very pleased to welcome her to Radio Westeros. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks so much, Lady Gwen. I am very excited to be here. This is one of the things that I love most about your podcast, is doing the quizzes. Big fan of trivia. So it's going to be a lot of fun to help you out this time.
Good, good. I hope we have some challenging questions in store. And yeah, this should be fun. So tell us a little bit about the podcast and what's going on at Watchers on the Wall. We are mainly a book-only podcast, but as you know, we do cover the show in other formats. So we've all been very busy lately.
Oh, yes, definitely. So, yes, we have been quite busy with the final season of the show in full swing. Two episodes left. It's going to be interesting to see how they wrap it all up. But you know, we've been covering a lot of news. We've been doing recaps. We've been covering interviews that come out. So, like I said, we've got two more weeks of that. We'll also be covering the successor shows. So we've got one kind of in the works right now, tentatively. It's not really titled The Long Night, but that's what the story is based on. So we will be covering news about that and about any other shows that they decide to develop for HBO. And as far as the Night's Cast, we do a live stream every Sunday before the show starts. It'll be 5, usually till about 6:30, and that'll be on YouTube. So we'll cover any questions and any other comments or topics that our listeners want to hear about before the show starts. And then we do a recap episode, usually record Monday nights and have them available on Tuesdays.
Okay, great. And you can find Night's Cast on YouTube. And
yes,
presumably wherever people find their podcasts as well.
Yes. Yeah, so the live stream will be on our Watchers on the Wall channel on YouTube. You can find the recorded audio of all of our podcast episodes on iTunes and on SoundCloud at Night's Cast.
Okay. Excellent. Definitely have a lot of listeners who are probably interested to check that out and also to keep up with the news of what's next. after Game of Thrones ends.
Definitely. It's an exciting time. We're anxious to see what else they'll come up with. And as far as content on the podcast, after the show wraps up, we will be covering some book material. We did an episode on Fire and Blood. We'll probably dive deeper into that and also into the main series and possibly the histories as well.
Well, we all know as content creators that there's basically no shortage of deep dives that we can take.
Definitely not.
And of course, as you said, we are in the home stretch
yes.
for Game of Thrones, which we're, you know, we're very busy with that. But Radio Westeros is primarily a book only podcast. So we try to keep some non-show content coming out for those of our listeners who aren't watching the show. So here we are with a new quiz to keep folks going until our next episode, which we hope to have out by the end of the month. Working on it now. It will be an episode all about Lyanna Stark. So here's the quiz to keep things rolling. Brief word about how the quiz works. We have 15 questions about characters. These are all people found in the main series. We're going to go through the questions and then we will circle back with the answers. So get your thinking caps on, pens and pencils at the ready if you like to keep track. And don't forget that we do love to hear your scores on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Patreon, wherever you find us. So as always, we like to let the guest go first. So we'll pass it over to you, Vanessa, for question one.
Great. So question one is, what character once fell madly in love with the ill-fated Waymar Royce?
Aha. So, character who fell in love with Waymar Royce, who made a brief appearance in Game of Thrones and very quickly made his exit.
It was brief but memorable.
Very memorable, sure. Yes.
He went out fighting.
He sure did. For Robert. Question two is, which character, who is one of the three representatives of Karth to accompany Jogo back to Vaes Tel'oro after his scouting mission, invites Daenerys to the House of the Undying? Sometime after she lays the place to waste, this character sends a sorrowful man to try and murder her.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts of A Clash of Kings is, I know a lot of people don't like Karth, but the House of the Undying chapter is one of my absolute favorites. And so this can be a tough one. So good job if you guys can remember this person's name. So question three, which character is a leech man's son in the Riverlands before being sent to the Wall? He has a face covered with boils and grew so angry after being spurned by a girl named Bessa, he murdered her. For this crime, he was sent north.
Okay, so someone who was sent to the Wall for murdering a girl who scorned him. Question four. Which mythical character was said to be High King of the First Men? Many houses claim descent from him, and he was said to wear a crown of flowers and vines on his head, symbolizing his supposed ability to bring fertility to the land.
Yeah, lots of fascinating mythical characters in A Song of Ice and Fire history. So good job if you can recall this particular High King. Question five is, which master armorer who considers his work art wears a large sapphire hanging from his neck? He owns the largest building in the Street of Steel, and its doors are made of ebony and weirwood.
Okay, so a armorer wearing a large sapphire, which I believe is said to be the size of a pigeon's egg. And yeah, can you remember his name? Question six is, which character responds to desertion with the order to break the knees of the deserters with hammers? He says, they will not run again, nor will any man who sees them begging in the streets.
Ooh, ruthless. So this could be any number of ruthless characters from A Song of Ice and Fire. And if you can recall the correct one, that's fantastic. So the one who wanted to break the knees of deserters with hammers. Question seven. Which young female character whose real name is unknown, is taken in by Yoren and later escapes into the woodlands to evade Sir Grigor Clegane's men.
This one might be tough. So let us know if you can remember the name of a young female who was rescued by Yoren all the way back in A Clash of Kings. Now, that brings us up to question 8. Which slaver received no assistance from the Unsullied who had once belonged to him at the Plaza of Punishment as the word Dracarys rang out in his doomed ears?
Yeah, it's one of the best scenes, I think, in the books. Very memorable scene and fascinating to watch on the TV show as well. But if you can remember his name, well done, because those names are tough. So best of luck on that one. Question 9. Which Bravosi Soulsword changes his look before attempting to assassinate Daenerys Targaryen? Half a point for his name and half for his nickname.
Yeah, Bravosi Soulsword, who has a nickname, but we also want to know what his real name is. And yes, let us know your thoughts on that. Question 10. Which spearwife, who is well acquainted with Stiv and Wallen, believes the winds rustling the leaves is a sign of the old gods?
Yeah, we actually are introduced to quite a number of spearwives throughout the book, so definitely put your thinking caps on and try to recall the particular one acquainted with Stiv and Wallen and believe the rustling leaves are a sign of the old gods. Question 11. We have which character goes by the name Groat and is seen in King's Landing before Quentin Martell sees him in Volantis, and we're looking for his real name.
You might think, you just told us his name. It's Groat. We want to know his actual real name. So, question 12. Which Dothraki ate more sausages than Quaro at the Western Market in A Game of Thrones after the smell of home convinced Daenerys that they should indulge?
Yeah, those Dothraki names are always tricky. So if you can recall the correct one, very, very well done. Daenerys did have quite a few that were her companions. So if you can recall the correct one, wonderful. So the one who ate more sausages than Caro at the Western Market. So question 13, we have which character with a sour leaf red smile is eventually hanged on a gibbet for allowing the seizing of Tyrion to take place under her roof?
Okay, just think of the horrific red smile, and hopefully that's a good tip off for you. Question 14, which knight was a squire and friend to Rhaegar Targaryen, but also a drinking buddy and bannerman of Robert Baratheon's? The rebellion must have brought devastating choices to this seldom mentioned fellow, and we'll give a half a point for his name and another half point for his nickname.
I think being a drinking buddy of Robert would be a tough pastime. Can imagine the amount of alcohol they must have consumed. So,
no kidding.
So if you can recall the knight and squire of and friend to Rhaegar and drinking buddy of Robert, good job. Number 15, which character is a bastard daughter of Prince Oberyn Martell with her mother being a Septa? Like her father, she is known to have knowledge of poisons.
Okay, so you know Oberyn Martell's daughters are the Sand Snakes, and we are looking for the one whose mother was a Septa and who knows about poisons. And that was our 15th question, so we are going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with the answers right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back. So here we go. We're going to run through the questions again, restate them, and give you your answers. So over to you, Vanessa. Back to question one, or answer number one.
Yeah, so the question was, which character once fell madly in love with Waymar Royce? And the answer is Sansa Stark.
Sansa Stark. Oh, gosh. It was so tough. It always is to come up with questions about major characters. So we hope that some of you were challenged by this one. In A Feast for Crows, while she's disguised as Elaine Stone, Sansa worries that Bronn's Yeon Royce will know her when he comes to the Eyrie. And she tells Littlefinger, Bronn's Yeon knows me. He was a guest at Winterfell when his son rode north to take the Black. And then her thoughts continue. She had fallen wildly in love with Ser Waymar. She remembered dimly, but that was a lifetime ago when she was a stupid little girl.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Kudos to you guys who remembered that Sansa once had a major crush on Waymar Royce. So that brings us to question two, which had to do with the person from Qarth who sent a sorrowful man to try and murder Dany after she laid waste to the House of the Undying. And the answer is Pyat Pree.
Yes, so warlock Pyat Pree. He gets introduced to us in A Clash of Kings as Drogo brings him back to Daenerys. He says, blood of my blood, I have been to the great city Qarth and returned with three who would look on you with their own eyes. Dany stared down at the strangers. Here I stand. Look, if that is your pleasure. But first, tell me your names. The pale man with the blue lips replied in guttural Dothraki, I am Pyat Pree, the great warlock. So, interesting character. And I don't know if you have happened to hear the Forsaken chapter or read the transcript, but he does seem to pop up in that chapter. So I think we will see him again in at least one future book. However briefly that might be. All right, on to question three. This character is a leechman's son in the Riverlands before he is set to the wall, has the face covered with boils, and was spurned by a girl named Bessa and murdered her for it. And that's why he was sent to the wall. And the answer is Chet.
Yeah, Chet. He's actually given a point of view in A Storm of Swords, where he's the prologue character, and we learn a lot from that chapter about his unfortunate backstory. When he'd been younger, it says, the village girls took one look at his face with its boils and its wen and turned away sickened. The worst was that slattern Bessa. She'd spread her legs for every boy in Hagsmire, so he'd figured, why not him too? He even spent a morning picking wildflowers when he heard she liked them, but she just laughed in his face and told him she'd crawl in a bed with his father's leeches before she'd crawl in one with him. She stopped laughing when he put his knife in her. That was sweet, the look on her face, so he pulled the knife out and put it in again. When they caught him down near Seven Streams, old Lord Walder Frey hadn't even bothered to come himself to do the judging. He'd sent one of his bastards, that Walder Rivers, and the next thing Chet had known, he was walking to the wall with that foul-smelling black devil urine. Pay for his one sweet moment, they took his whole life.
Not a very likable character. But I will say the prologue chapter, from his point of view, had one of the most climactic endings, I think, of any of the books. It just really kept me on the edge of my seat, wondering what's going to happen. So good for you, Chet. You had a good prologue. Yeah.
Did something right. So the next question was about the mythical character said to be High King of the First Men, from whom many houses claim descent. He wore a crown of flowers and vines, symbolizing his ability to spread fertility. And the answer is Garth Greenhand.
Yes, Garth Greenhand. Supposedly he was quite the fertile man with quite a number of houses to descend from him. So we have a great quote from the wonderful Olenna, who tells Sansa Stark that Garth liked to plant his seed in fertile ground, they say. I shouldn't wonder that more than his hands were green. Just love her.
Gotta love her.
Yeah. All right, moving on to question five. This master armorer considers his work art, wears a large sapphire hanging from his neck, and he owns the largest building in the Street of Steel, which doors are made of ebony and weirwood. And the answer is Tobo Mott.
Yeah, Tobo Mott. He enters the story when Ned begins investigating the death of Jon Arryn. And, of course, ultimately he finds Gendry working as an apprentice at Tobo's forge. The description of him is from Ned's chapter. "I am Tobo Mott, my lord. Please, please put yourself at ease." He wore a black velvet coat with hammers embroidered on the sleeves in silver thread. Around his neck was a heavy silver chain and a sapphire as large as a pigeon's egg. "If you're in need of new arms for the hand's tourney, you come to the right shop." Ned did not bother to correct him. "My work is costly, and I make no apologies for that, my lord," he said as he filled two matching silver goblets. "You'll not find craftsmanship equal to mine anywhere in the Seven Kingdoms, I promise you. Visit every forge in King's Landing if you like, and compare for yourself. Any village smith can hammer out a shift of mail. My work is art." So, Tobo is a very humble man, obviously.
And one of the few that can rework Valyrian steel.
Right.
So will be interesting to find out if he passed any of that knowledge on to Gendry, which could be very vital in the upcoming War for the Dawn.
Yeah, I hope. I kind of hope it is. So we move on to question six. And that had to do with the character who responds to deserters. Specifically, it's deserters from the City Watch, which we didn't tell you because that might have given it away. But he says, "Break their knees with hammers. They will not run again, nor will any man who sees them begging in the streets." The answer is Tywin Lannister.
Good old Tywin. renowned for being quite merciless, as demonstrated here for sure. Very, very feared man, much unlike his father, which is probably by design, because he absolutely hated being mocked and made sure not to follow in his father's footsteps. So if you guys got this one, great job. I struggled with it. I actually thought it might be Randall Tarly, but they are two men that are cut from the same cloth. So Randall would probably have a similar response to deserters.
I feel like you're right.
All right. Moving on to question seven. And this is the young female character whose name we don't know. She's taken in by Yoren, and she escapes into the woodlands to evade Sir Gregor's men. And the answer is Weasel.
Yeah, we know Weasel from A Clash of Kings in Arya's point of view. Here's a quote. "At the sound of her voice, Weasel came creeping out from the bushes. Lommy had named her that. He said she looked like a weasel, which wasn't true, but they couldn't keep on calling her the crying girl after she finally stopped crying. Her mouth was filthy. Arya hoped she hadn't been eating mud again." And of interest with Weasel, George has actually commented that minor characters, or minor characters like her, often have full backstories in his head, though it's unlikely he'll ever share them with us. So.
Which is sad, because I often wonder what happened to poor Weasel. I think a lot of people are concerned for that little girl, so.
I know. I think people must be, and that's probably why he commented that. Somebody must have been asking him what happened to Weasel. But
I'm just going to pretend some woman in the Riverlands found her and took her in and is taking care of her. So I'll just have that daydream in my head.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm with you there. Question eight is the slaver who received no assistance from the Unsullied. who had once belonged to him, when the word Dracarys rang out in the Plaza of Punishment? And the answer is Krasnys Monaklas. Krasnys is fine as an answer.
Yes, Krasnys, one of the most pivotal scenes in A Storm of Swords, when Daenerys conquers Astapor with the Unsullied. He met his doom in one of the most climactic moments because the dragon he chose as payment refused to obey him. And I'll just quickly read the passage here. "There is a reason a dragon is no slave." And Dany swept the lash down as hard as she could across the slaver's face. Krasnys screamed and staggered back, the blood running red down his cheeks into his perfumed beard. The harpy's fingers had torn his features half to pieces with one slash, but she did not pause to contemplate the ruin. "Drogon," she sang out loudly, sweetly, all her fear forgotten. "Dracarys!" The black dragon spread his wings and roared. The lance of swirling dark flame took Krasnys full in the face. His eyes melted and ran down his cheeks, and the oil on his hair and beard burst so fiercely into fire that for an instant the slaver wore a burning crown twice as tall as his head. The sudden stench of charred meat overwhelmed even his perfume, and his wail seemed to drown all other sound. Ugh, I get chills just reading that. And seeing the show's portrayal of that scene was fantastic. Such a powerful moment.
Yeah, really. That was probably one of the best adaptation, or one of the best adapted scenes in the show. It was just so visually so great. So, but just listening to you read it, I had it all, the visions in my head, that crown of flame and eyes melting. Yeah. Oh.
So moving on to question 9. Which Bravosi sellsword changes his look before attempting to assassinate Daenerys Targaryen? Half a point for his name and half for his nickname. Hopefully you guys got both. And it is Mero the Titan's Bastard.
Yeah, of course, Mero was pretty angry with Dany and tried to kill her, but his attempt was thwarted by Barristan, who was then known to Dany as Arstan Whitebeard, who defeated him before leaving him still alive in the clutches of an angry mob. Here's the passage. Whitebeard put Dany behind him. Mero slashed at his face. The old man jerked back, cat quick. The staff thumped Mero's ribs, sending him reeling. Arstan splashed sideways, parried a looping cut, danced away from a second, checked a third mid-swing. The moves were so fast, she could hardly follow. Missandei was pulling Dany to her feet when she heard a crack. She thought Arstan's staff had snapped until she saw the jagged bone jutting from Mero's calf. As he fell, the Titan's Bastard twisted and lunged, sending his point straight at the old man's chest. Whitebeard swept the blade aside almost contemptuously and smashed the other end of his staff against the big man's temple. So, on that note, so ended the Titan's Bastard, or shortly thereafter, because I'm pretty sure he was torn apart by the angry mob after that. So R.I.P. Mero. And that brings us to question 10, which I've got to admit, the first time I read this without the answers kind of stumped me, because I couldn't remember Stiven Wallen. Which spearwife, well acquainted with Stiven Wallen, believes that winds rustling in the leaves are a sign of the old gods? The answer is Asha.
Yes, Asha. We have a quote here from A Game of Thrones where she says, "Who do you think sends the winds, if not the gods?" And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that Bran does the same thing in Dance with Dragons when Theon's in the Godswood. He makes the leaves rustle. And so it's very possible that she's correct with some of the other spirits of the green seers in the trees. So there's plenty of evidence out there, and there's a lot of interesting takes and theories on Reddit and other forums about this. So definitely take a look at it. So moving on to question 11. We have which character goes by the name Groat, and is seen in King's Landing before Quentin Martell sees him in Volantis, and his real name is Oppo.
Yeah, this Oppo is eventually murdered after Cersei calls for the heads of male dwarfs, who might be her brother. She's specifically looking for her brother, not just any male dwarf, but of course all of the people out to try to collect her bounty. just basically start killing any vaguely short male, from what it seems. Definitely male dwarves are in danger. So Oppo falls victim to that. And Tyrion, who later meets Penny, Oppo's sister, says this to Jorah: "His blood is on my sister's hands and the hands of the brutes who killed him." Question 12 now. Was this which Dothraki ate more sausages than Karro at the Western Market in A Game of Thrones? And the answer was Ricaro.
Yes, and I'll admit I totally guessed on this one and just happened to remember his name. So you might have gotten lucky like me, but he is one of Daenerys's close companions. And I have a quote here from the book where it says, "In Pentos, I make them with pork," the old woman said, "but all my pigs died on the Dothraki Sea. These are made of horse meat, Khaleesi, but I spice them the same." Oh, Danny felt disappointed, but Karro liked a sausage so well, he decided to have another one, and Ricaro had to outdo him and eat three more, belching loudly. Danny giggled. And I love that. It was so nice to see her get a lighthearted scene when she'd had such a tough time in throughout the Game of Thrones book. So it was a nice scene until she gets to the wine cellar. That's another story. So, moving on to question 13, we have which character with a sour leaf red smile is eventually hanged on a gibbet for allowing the seizing of Tyrion to take place under her roof, and it's poor doomed Masha Heddle.
Yeah, Masha Heddle, someone that Kat had known from her childhood in Game of Thrones. When she goes to the inn at the crossroads, it says she still remembered the innkeep, a fat woman named Masha Heddle, who chewed sour leaf night and day and seemed to have an endless supply of smiles and sweet cakes for the children. The sweet cakes had been soaked with honey, rich and heavy on the tongue, but how Catelyn had dreaded those smiles. The sour leaf had stained Masha's teeth a dark red and made her smile a bloody horror. And later on, we hear from Septim Maribald that she always had a sweet cake for him. She actually was someone with a very big heart. And it's too bad that she kind of fell afoul of Tywin Lannister by just happening to be the person that owned the building where Tyrion was taken from. So she comes to a sad end.
Yeah, doesn't work out well when you run afoul of Tywin, for sure.
Yeah, try to stay away from that. Pro tip. We're at question 14, which had to do with the knight who was squire and friend of Rhaegar Targaryen, but he was also a drinking buddy and bannerman of Robert Baratheon's. Imagine his conflict during Robert's rebellion. Who was he? We had asked half a point for his name and another for his nickname. The answer is Richard Lonmouth, and his nickname is the Knight of Skulls and Kisses. Although I did ask Yokeboy if we could accept Lem Lem and Cloak. He said probably not. So.
Yeah, so in A Storm of Swords, we have Barristan telling Dany that Miles Mootin was Prince Rhaegar's squire and Richard Lonmouth after him. When they won their spurs, he knighted them himself and they remained his close companions. And I actually really love the theory that Lem Lemoncloak is Richard Lonmouth in disguise. So I hope that we find that out at some point. Might come in handy for someone who knew Rhaegar well to pop back up in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love it, but it's not canon, so it's not an acceptable answer here, but thank you.
It is in my head.
Yeah. Me too.
It's canon in my head. So right. That's all that matters. So moving on to question 15 and our final question. Which character is a bastard daughter of Prince Oberyn Martell, with her mother being a Septa, and like her father, she is known for her knowledge of poisons? And the answer is Tyene Sand.
Yep, that's right, Tyene Sand. I did get this one eventually. I have to struggle in my head to, you know, nail down the sand snakes. I have headcanon images of all of them in my head, which... you know, a lot of times the show helps us to remember more minor characters, but not in this case. So we will, moving on from that subject, here's a quote from A Dance with Dragons, where Tyene tells her sisters, "I know the poison father used. If his spear so much as broke the mountain's skin, Clegane is dead. I do not care how big he was. Doubt your little sister if you like, but never doubt our sire."
Yeah, and her knowledge of poisons may come in handy later in the books, too. So when she gets to King's Landing, could be bad for the Lannister contingent there. But we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. I'm hoping and expecting that something does come of that. So we'll see. But that was indeed the last question. So how did you all do? Let us know wherever you find us. Send us some smoke signals to tell us if we managed to stump you on any of those. And now I want to say thank you, Vanessa, so much for joining me and taking time out of your busy weekend.
It was my pleasure.
With me.
This my pleasure.
Fun. Yeah. And why don't you, before we go, remind everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, of course. So you can find me writing for Watchers on the Wall. As I mentioned before, we're at the Night's Cast podcast. We'll be doing live streaming Sunday. Our usual host, Sam, will not be joining us tomorrow. So I will be hosting tomorrow's live stream. It starts at 5 Eastern. And please come with questions. Hopefully we'll be able to have a live chat going. We unfortunately had to shut it down last week because the episode leaked early and then people were posting spoilers everywhere. So fingers crossed that won't happen this time. But definitely come join us. We'll have recaps the week following the episode. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can follow us on Twitter at Nightscast. And you can follow me personally. I'm also on Twitter at VKColeArtist. You can find me on Instagram where I post all of my artwork. And it's at VKColeArt. And hope to hear from you guys. Also, I will be at Con of Thrones coming up in July, the 12th through the 14th in Nashville. So I'll be on panels. We'll be doing podcast meet and greets. So definitely find me and come say hello.
Yeah. Definitely check it all out. Check out the live stream, and I highly recommend your Instagram.
Thank you.
Follow her there, yes. And all of the above. And as for Radio Westeros, find us at RadioWesteros.com and also on iTunes and on YouTube, and check out our Patreon for those bonus episodes. And you can find me covering the show with History of Westeros, which happens on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. We live stream our show reviews. So only 2 more weeks to go with that. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. We will see you next time. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.